It's time for the Secrets of Staffing Success from Haley Marketing. Candid conversations with entrepreneurs and thought leaders in staffing and recruiting.
How do you guys differentiate yourselves from your competitors? Is ACA a threat or an opportunity for the staffing industry? How can the staffing industry improve the candidate experience? What will be keeping you up at night over the next 2 years?
And here's your host, Todd Lewandowski.
Welcome to another edition of Secrets of Staffing Success. It is a beautiful, sunny, 70-degree day here in Buffalo, New York. Finally. I know I've been complaining about the weather the last couple episodes, but we finally got spring here. I've got my first tee time booked for the weekend. All is well. You can check out this podcast on all the usual places, on iTunes, on Google Play, on Spotify, on Stitcher. And while you're there, you can subscribe so that all of our new episodes get sent directly to your device. And while you're there, if you don't mind giving us a quick review, tell us what you like about the show. Tell others what you like about the show. And if you have any suggestions for future topics or future guests, please feel free to email me, todd@haleymarketing.com. That's Todd with two Ds. Our guest this week on Secrets of Staffing Success is strategist, keynote speaker, and now even an author. He is Scott Winthrop. Scott, welcome to the show.
Todd, I have been looking forward to this for a while.
All right. The book, High Velocity Hiring, just found out, named a must-read by SHRM. Let's talk for a minute about the book. What made you want to dive into this form of media?
So it's my second book. The first one was Sales Yoga. And it's the book that I always had to write. I've innovated a lot of how selling is done in the staffing industry. And so putting out a book helped me increase the reach and decided to publish that on my own. And when it came time to write the book, I had to write and wanted to write as well. High Velocity Hiring. What prompted that was when Time to Fill hit its first historical peak in 2015. And then it's since hit new historical peaks in 16 and 17. And quite a number of years ago, I mentioned to you before we started the podcast today that I've been at this for 30 years now. Mm-hmm. And even, you know, 29, 30 years ago, I had figured out a way just through some common sense approaches to fill jobs the instant they became open. And so it's always baffled me when hiring has taken a long time. And so as I watched things hit their historical peaks, and I watched, the rounds of interviews get longer and longer, and I watched turnover get no better, retention has not improved a bit, I knew it was time to write the book. And it's a book that I wrote to three audiences. One, hiring managers, because they're part of the solution in this, a big part, because they're the decision maker. Certainly wrote it to the HR and talent acquisition communities. And I wrote it to the staffing community, because the staffing industry plays a big role in this and can play a bigger role. So I'm just so thrilled. The book's been out a year now, doing incredibly well. The accolades have been great. And one of those wonderful surprises was the SHRM one. I'm just so pleased with the reception that it's been getting.
That's excellent. And you've got videos online now, too. I was watching some of your videos on YouTube. You can search for Scott Winthrop on YouTube and check out some of his great videos as well, too. So you're a man of many media outlets, I think.
Thank you. Yes, you can't get away from me, and that's the point.
Excellent.
You know, I'm here like Haley is. To elevate and improve the circumstances of the staffing industry. And so we have to reach people in multiple ways to do that.
Absolutely. It's one of the reasons why we started this little show here. So let's get into it. I feel like I could talk to you for about 2 hours about all the issues surrounding the staffing industry right now. And when I talk with vendors, it tends to be, I don't want to say negative, but, you know, what can the staffing industry be doing better? You know, what are the challenges? So it takes somewhat of a negative tone. So let's start with a positive right now. What do you see the staffing and recruiting industry doing really well right now?
Well, I'm really glad you touched on the positive versus negative slant. I think it's much more positive than negative. In fact, we can say that about any industry. You know, any industry that is viable is doing good things and then doing things that need to be improved. And so it's the glass half empty or half full. And I think it's more than half full for the staffing industry. So things that the industry is doing well, we could talk about that for 2 hours, let alone anything else. You know, a couple of things come to mind. The staffing industry is still the flexible solution. One of the most flexible solutions for one of the most important assets of a company, or the most important asset, people. And, you know, in fact, you can rent equipment, and you can then deploy that equipment. I don't know that you can get some of the equipment that you would need in a company as fast as you can get the people that you need. You know, the flexibility and how staffing firms deliver in more ways than ever. I often refer to the alphabet soup that we have now with the VMS and the MSP and the RPO and the others, and all the different ways. And, of course, the traditional ways of temp and temp to hire and contract arrangements and full-time. You know, having a staffing firm on your side as a company or as a candidate is like having an agent. Mm-hmm. And with my book, I know what it's like to have an agent. You know, my agent had my back. He took my book to the market. He got the deals. He negotiated things for me. It was like having my own headhunter, but for my book. Mm-hmm. And I knew this guy had my best interest in mind. Plus, he was taking care of McGraw-Hill, my publisher, as well. That felt great. It made my job easy. That's what it's like to have a staffing firm working for you. So flexibility is the first thing. Yeah. The second thing I would say is I think the staffing industry is more ethical than ever. I think there have been more good players than bad for a long time. You know, the bad apples have given the industry a black eye. The industry still is known at times too much as a necessary evil. Yet I see the ethics, and the third thing is I was going to say is the integrity of the industry. I think those are at their highest peaks ever. Why is that? I think it's because of why people get into this business. This is a hard business where you work hard. You tend to work a lot of hours. So why do people do it? They like to help. They like to help people with their careers. They like to help companies with their people. Plus, when you look at how industry associations like the American Staffing Association, APSCO, and others around the world are really elevating the presence but upping the standards as well. You look at all the things that ASA has done around employment law and elevating the industry's knowledge base in that. This is an industry that is better informed than ever. And because of that, I think the industry overall is doing a very good job in improving the circumstances of the companies they work with and the candidates they serve as well.
Staying, I guess, kind of on the positive, you know, things are really well right now. Things are going great. We're in a time of prosperity in the staffing industry. But as we know, those downturns are coming, and it kind of feels like we're overdue for one right now. If you
don't say that,
I know.
Don't say that. The staffing gods will hear you.
Knock on wood. You know, what's going to be the biggest change coming, you know, outside of the possible downturn? What's going to be the biggest change in the staffing and recruiting industry over the next maybe 2 to 3 years that firms really need to start preparing for now?
So it's not going to sound like a change when I first address it. So I ask the listeners, bear with me. And that is, it's all about talent. And that doesn't sound new, I know. But old becomes new again. And it's always been about the talent. And talent has always been a competitive advantage. And, you know, in fact, I'll even go to a point and say there's been statements made over the years that have been perpetuated that are just not true. And one of them is that there are candidate markets and client markets. That's just not true. It looks like it, but it's just not true. And here's my proof. Regardless of what's going on in the economy, if you have an order, you'll fill it some of the time. Now, those percentages may be high in some cases, low in others. But if you have an order, sometimes you'll fill it. However, regardless of economy, if you have a talented person, you'll always find them a job if you know what the hell you're doing in this business. So that alone tells me it is a candidate-driven market. Talent always comes first. And I know this is true when I look at the companies that I worked with during our last recession, the Great Recession. Those who had garnered and cultivated top talent and held on to those people and were able to continue to do that either stayed level set when it came to revenues and size, but they actually grew in some cases. So it's always been about talent. And, you know, client market, it's a myth. It's always a candidate market. And as long as you focus on that, yes, the clients gain some edge at certain times, but it's always about talent. Todd, it's only going to increase in the next 2 to 3 years. Those who have the talent will excel. and those who don't won't. Now, what's my proof on this? The gig economy is a big part of that. The gig economy, and everybody should write down the three words I'm about to say. The gig economy is about three things. It's about fast, convenient access. It's about fast, convenient access of jobs for talented people, and fast, convenient access for opportunity for talented people by companies, the company getting those people. The rise of the gig economy is driven by the need for talent, plus that our society has become a fast, convenient access society. And so staffing firms that make their customers wait while they go procure talent aren't going to do as well. Staffing and recruiting firms also who don't have enough internal talent, which has always been a fairly big inherent weakness in staffing companies, also won't do well. If there's one piece of advice I would hope people walk away from this podcast with is cultivate talent. Make it your job to have a zero time to fill internally, which is what my book is all about. A zero time to fill is doable if you have a process, and that's what the book's about. And a zero time to fill with your customers, if you teach them a different way of hiring, is also achievable. And what's nice about that is if you can fill your customers' jobs the moment they become open, you're so many steps ahead of many of your competitors who are scrambling to find talent because they're engaged in the old way of staffing. And that's, you know, you keep looking for talent until the right person shows up. So talent's going to be the key, and it always has been, but we're going to see that exponentially increase over the next 2 to 3 years.
I love what you said about that there's no difference between the client market and the candidate market, because when I talk to my clients, I say, you know, what's your biggest issue right now? And obviously 99.9% of them are saying, well, we can't find candidates. Okay, well, let's talk about doing some marketing to candidates. Well, we don't want to do that. We don't want to spend money on that. We just want to focus on our marketing on clients. And it baffles you sometimes, the kind of backwards thinking there. You know, what needs to change here to make staffing firms realize that they need to market to candidates just as much as they need to market to clients?
Let's talk about the why about that for a second, Todd, because this is a really important point you bring up. Why is it that there's so much deference given to the customer? Why is it there's this hyper-focus for decades now? And the answer, I figured this one out years ago. It's all about money. Mm-hmm. The candidates don't pay us a dime. The clients do.
Yep.
And because of that, I won't say the words. My father used to say this, and I'll clean it up a little bit because this is a clean podcast, I'm sure. But, you know, somewhere he heard the quote that money talks and BS walks. And everybody can figure out what BS is. You know, this is a rhyme. And it's so true. Money talks. Money talks to the staffing industry. Money talks to salespeople. We have taken customers, and they are important. They're so critically important. They're part of the equation with which the staffing industry cannot survive. However, just because they have the money doesn't make them more important or give them a bigger say. Yes, they are the customer, but so is the candidate. In fact, I can make the case that the candidate is the customer who actually has a little more power these days because they have more choices. They have so many firms they can go to. So really money is the thing that has screwed up the thinking around this for a very, very long time. And so it seems natural to me when people think in that misguided way that they want to spend the money where there is the money. And so you're spot on. They should be spending money on candidate marketing. In fact, if anything, they probably should spend more there, because you can actually get away with spending less on customers if you have a robust sales effort.
Yeah, it's, you know, if I was selling a product, if I was selling TVs, you know, I would put a ton of money into R&D to make sure that I had the absolute best TV there is to offer. Yet we don't do that as an industry with candidates. We don't put that effort and we don't put those resources behind finding the very best candidates to offer to our clients.
One of the firms that I've worked with for a long time, and we keep, you know, upping the game, and they have some of the highest margins across all the industries they serve, including industrial. They garner over 30% margins for both industrial and light industrial jobs, which is almost unheard of. Now, why can they do that in that industry, in accounting, finance, in IT, and a couple others they serve? The talent. They have people that have worked for them on temp assignments and on contract assignments for years. Mm. They have made contracting a temp a lifestyle. This firm has an attitude that I helped instill in the organization, and it's this. When you go to all that effort to recruit somebody, why would you ever let them get away? Mm. Why? Mm-hmm. When they're that good, why not keep redeploying them? And it's something, you know, don't want to be negative. I said this is the glass half full. So it is, you know, the other half of the glass that we can fill up here is if the staffing industry, if staffing firms just got a little bit better at redeploying some of its talent, those firms, when that happens, what I watch is it's almost free money flowing to the bottom line. And doing that is easier than people think. Mm-hmm. And the way you do it is you find those jobs which you can promise people you will keep them employed. And I'm not talking about bench time here. Bench time is unnecessary when you pick your spots and you find a role or two where you know beyond any doubt that you can keep people employed. And then you make people a promise that working for you as a staffing firm from one assignment to another is more secure than working for an employer. Yeah. And the reason that is if an employer lets you go, you're on the street. Mm-hmm. If an assignment ends, though, and you're one of my core talent, I just put you on your next assignment.
Yeah.
That's a lot more secure than anything else I know of in the employment world today.
Yeah. You know, as we were talking before we started recording here, you know, you've been in the industry for 30 years. I hit my 15-year mark back last year, and when we first started in our building, we had a staffing firm, and they did a lot of light industrial type of staffing, and you would watch these candidates come in, and they just looked miserable, and they would be there for 2-3 hours going through all this testing and all this paperwork and all these interviews, and you know, you leave feeling, you know, exhausted. You don't have a positive feeling leaving. Has the candidate experience gotten better, or what can we do to make it even better to make candidates want to work for staffing firms?
Yeah, this is so important. So candidate experience, candidate engagement, the two CEs are all the buzz these days. Yeah. And it's been more the buzz in the HR and talent acquisition communities. And the staffing industry is now playing a little bit of catch up. And, you know, I'm blessed to work within that community. And often my work is about helping staffing firms and HR leaders and organizations and corporations work better together. And what I find is there's a lot the staffing industry should be learning from corporate America. Mm-hmm. And, part of it is about creating this experience. And that's the key word. What kind of experience do you want your candidates to have? Do you want them to have what you described, which almost sounds like an episode of Survivor, mm-hmm. a reality show? Or do we want them walking in and you know, having an experience that is energizing and not draining, where they walk out and they're not tired and fatigued, they're energized and they're saying, that is the firm I want to work with. Yeah. So, yes, you know, it's something that needs to be focused on. It needs to be improved. Some firms are doing it incredibly well, right. and many need to do a little bit better. Now, how can companies do this one better for concrete steps? Well, also just three things. One is start cultivating talent ahead of time. Now, this is a relationship building exercise, and if we're cultivating talent ahead of time, we're sending a message. We're saying to people, we do things differently here. We don't wait until a job's open and scramble to find people to fill it. We get to know people, so when the jobs come open, we pick the best people with whom we've cultivated relationships so we can do right by them and our customers. That's a little bit different. It's not that slamming a body in the job. It's getting to know you and serve you. So that's the first thing, is we're going to start to cultivate talent and line them up before we need jobs, because that builds a true lasting relationship. The second thing is offer experiences. You know, the words candidate experience, let's be literal about that. So what does that mean? Well, the experience starts before they ever walk in the door. And then when they walk in the door, instead of, you know, putting them through the normal interview process, maybe we arrange for them to try on a job where we meet them at a customer and they do some sample work so the customer can see them in action. They can try on the opportunity even if there isn't, you know, an opening right now. Talk about an experience. These experiential interviews that I talk about in my book are one of the biggest ways that I'm finding companies are creating positive candidate experience before somebody takes an assignment. And then the last thing I would say that helps with candidate experience is an old school recruiting technique that needs a little more attention, and that's referrals. Mm. Referrals used to be the way to recruit and fill jobs. And we have all these other resources now, which is a wonderful thing. But referrals have kind of gone by the wayside a bit. Candidate experience actually starts with referrals, because think about if I'm referred to you, Todd, we've mm-hmm. never spoken before. And David, some guy we both know, refers me to you. That experience now starts with, hey, David had such wonderful things to say about you, Todd, including, and I just add that one thing he said, well, what experience are you already having? Well, it's warm. It's more positive. You've heard David's praise. You hear mm-hmm. that I heard it as well. I'm paying it back to you. This is engendering good feelings from the very start. What a nice way to start the candidate experience. Yeah. So there's certainly more things you can do, but if you are cultivating people ahead of time, if you're giving them experiences and not just interviews, and you start it early with things like referrals, it can't help but make candidate experience that much better from the very start.
I want to switch over to the client side a little bit and the selling side. You know, we mentioned your YouTube videos, which are fantastic. And if anybody wants to check them out, just go to YouTube and search for Scott Winship. But there was one term as I was watching them the other day that caught my attention, and that was scalability. And you really, in this video, encourage staffing firms to use their ability to help clients scale up, scale down as a differentiator. Yet that's, I don't hear that a lot in the marketing messages of staffing firms. Is that, do you feel like that's a kind of an underutilized differentiator that the staffing industry should be, you know, paying more attention to?
Yeah, I do. I agree with you that scalability, I think it's an inherent benefit that the staffing industry delivers, and scalability and flexibility go hand in hand. And I don't think it's talked about enough. In fact, I've often joked, and it's really not a joke, that all too often the staffing industry is way too modest.
Hmm.
And what I mean by that is, yes, staffing firms talk a lot. They like to talk about what they're good at. But what they tend to talk about way too much, staffing firms, is methodology, how they do things. And if you think about it, methodology may be really interesting to you as a staffing professional, but to be very blunt, it's boring as hell to a buyer. It really is.
Yeah.
Now, at the end of the day, do they really care that you have a 12-step process that gets the job done, or do they care what that process is going to do for them?
Right.
And that's the key. I just launched a new website, and I followed something I've known for a long time, is that logic makes people think and emotion makes them act. Mm-hmm. So when the new website loads at scottwintrip.com, the very top, you see live video of me doing a keynote, but superimposed over it are the words, eliminate your stress and the overwhelm of recruiting and hiring.
Hmm.
Because I know those two things exist in the staffing industry. It's stressful and overwhelming to be in this business. I know it's true of the corporate community as well. I know it's true of HR. So I'm tapping into the logic, or, well, the emotion of, you know, if people are going to act, if they're going to sign me up as their keynote speaker or hire me as their advisor, a big part of that's going to be based on emotion. Can I make those negative feelings they're feeling go away? Well, the staffing industry would do well to follow that same formula. You know, when you talk about your methodology, you're being very logical. You're logically saying why you're so good at what you do.
Yeah.
But when you talk about how, you know, the customer is feeling, when you ask the customer what impacts are all those open seats having on you, when you talk about those things, it gets them thinking and feeling and wanting to buy. Then you can talk about those differentiators like scalability and how that scalability makes those negative feelings go away. You're no longer going to be stressed out, because I'll be the scalable solution that you can lean on whenever you need it. So we should be talking more about the scalability, but we should also be talking about the emotions and the feelings that people have. And yes, I know this makes me sound like everybody's therapist, but emotion does make people act. And when you can talk about the emotions and get them talking about the emotions, what it feels like to be dealing with these staffing challenges, then you can come along with this differentiator called scalability and the others, such as, you know, the flexibility and quality and accuracy, and differentiate yourself and show them that you can solve their problem.
Hmm. That's fantastic advice. You know, it goes back to the analogy I made earlier about the TV. I don't care how my TV's made. I just want it to be really good, and I just want it to give me a great picture and great sound. You know, I don't care about the nuts and bolts of it. I just want it to work.
Emotion. Yeah. Who cares what's in the backside of it? It's what the front side is doing for me and how that makes me feel. Yeah. Well said.
Exactly.
Well said.
Before we let you go, too, you had mentioned the turnover, internal turnover, being an issue in the staffing industry. And something we've talked about on the show before. I'm wondering, what advice would you give to a brand new sales rep to the staffing industry? What's those kind of one or two things that they can do to take them from, you know, a green rookie to a superstar more quickly?
So you said one or two. I'm going to pick one.
Okay.
But it's big.
Okay.
Right? And this may surprise some people, given everything else I said, and for those who know me, so bear with me. And it's two words to all those new people. Be greedy. Okay, four words. Be greedy as hell. Be greedy.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not talking money. I am not. And here's why I say that. You know, be greedy when it comes to how many companies you desire to serve. Mm. One of the reasons I watch sales hires, new and old, fail is they're calling on too few customers. There's been this, I don't know, unwritten rule for a long time that, you know, a salesperson should pursue 20 to 25 companies at a time. That's terrible advice. It is a recipe for failure. Now, yes, some will get lucky and they'll land a couple clients, but when those go away, those people are screwed.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to be greedy. I used to manage a book of 800 prospects. I could do that working 35, 36 hours a week. Most of the salespeople I work with through the organizations I serve are pursuing hundreds of prospects, as many as 800. They're not doing it by working ridiculous amounts of hours. They're doing it in a systematic process approach. So you have to, because the reality is only about 30 to 35% of companies are going to buy each year. And so none of us are smart enough to know which ones are going to buy from us. We have to call on enough. So we have to be greedy about the number of companies we want to help and serve and be better. We also have to be greedy about how you stay in touch. Most salespeople don't stay in touch enough. And I know you've had this tagline at Haley of stand out, stay top of mind for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's really hard to stand out and stay top of mind when you've been forgotten. And if you're not staying in touch with people and being greedy about being in front of them and giving them value, you know, that's going to be a problem. They're not going to remember you. They should be greedy, these new salespeople, and how much impact they deliver. If you deliver tremendous impact, the money takes care of itself. And so if you're greedy in those ways, the money takes care of itself. This firm I talked about early on that gets over 30% margins in all their industries, they are amazingly greedy in all those ways. The money takes care of itself. They ask for what they deserve, and the customers don't feel gouged. They feel served because this firm has such a tremendous impact.
Yeah. He's Scott Winthrop, strategist, keynote speaker for staffing and recruiting. As he mentioned, he's been in the business for 30 years. He's one of my favorite people to follow in the industry. He's got the new website, scottwinthrop.com. And Scott, let everybody know where they can purchase the book, High Velocity Hiring.
Sure. So if you go to my website, in the upper right-hand side, you'll see a link to both of my books. You can also put in the URL, highvelocityhiring.com. It'll take you to that book page. I would also suggest everybody, while you're there on the homepage, if you scroll down, there's a free 26-page report about talent wealth. Hmm. Check that out as well. That's got some stuff in there that's not in the book that will help you be more consultative with your customers and teach them about the implications of talent wealth, and it will actually help you serve them better as a result.
Hmm. Scott, thank you so much. As I mentioned at the beginning, we could probably talk for about 2 hours. I think we will have you on again in the near future to talk more, because I know you've got a ton of insight with all the companies that you work with about what staffing and recruiting firms can be doing to enhance their business and really take their business to the next level. So thank you so much for sharing all of your secrets of staffing success with our listeners.
Oh, my pleasure, Todd. I'd love doing it and would love to do it again. Thanks for having me on today.
My big thanks to Scott Winthrop. Wow, there's just so much to digest there. Like I said, Scott's one of my favorite people to follow in the staffing industry because his insight is just so good and he gets you thinking differently. And one of those things was when he said, be greedy for new sales reps. And I think that this really goes for all sales reps, not just new ones. Be greedy. You know, I'll raise my hand here. I'm guilty as anybody of telling my clients to focus on those 25 to 50 prospects each week, you know, and make sure it's a manageable number. And Scott gets you thinking a little bit differently. Be greedy. He managed 800 prospects when he was in staffing. That's a crazy number. And I agree, you know, with the way we communicate nowadays via email and all the social media outlets, you can manage many more prospects right now. In the old days when you just had the phone basically to contact people, sure, you know, you wanted to have a manageable number so you could have some conversations. But, you know, how many people are actually taking your call when you call them if you're making cold calls right now? You know, a fraction of a percent. So you have to play those percentages a little bit. You got to go for more people to try and get more appointments. It makes sense. So I love that message there. And so many other things that Scott talked about here. I could go on for 2 hours just about everything that Scott talked about. But I'm gonna let everything just kind of speak for itself there. If you want to find out more about Scott, scottwinthrop.com. You can find his book there, High Velocity Hiring. And also check out his videos on YouTube. He does a really great job of those, of kind of easy to digest 5-6 minute little tidbits that you can start incorporating in your life right now. So just check out YouTube, search for Scott Winthrop there. I want to thank everybody for listening. Of course, as always, you can find us on iTunes, you can find us on Google Play, you can find us on Stitcher, you can find us on Spotify. While you're there, make sure you subscribe and leave us a review. Let us know what you think about the show. Thanks, everybody, for listening, and we will talk to you next time on Secrets of Staffing Success.